Ask you to take your Bibles, if you would, this morning and turn with me to a new book today, Philippians. If you would turn to the book of Philippians, chapter number 2. I want to give you a little illustration, if I could. I just want to hold this up for a minute. Not too exciting, is it? That's all I got, I'm sorry. But when I did this, what did you do? You looked at it, right? And you saw that it was a light or a flashlight. Yes, a flashlight. I didn't have to tell you to look at it, did I? I mean, I dare say that most everybody, when I flicked this light on, looked at the light. I didn't have to tell you to look at the light. I didn't have to explain to you the attributes of the light or the characteristics of the light. I didn't have to encourage you to take joy in the light. You just automatically noticed the light. Right? I mean, again, this is not rocket science. I wish it was, but it's not. It's just a simple illustration. When I cut on the little flashlight, you looked at the light. You noticed the light without anybody having to tell you to look at the light. Now, what in the world does that have to do with a Sunday morning message? Well, in Philippians, we see another illustration that Paul was giving to the church at Philippi. In chapter 2, in beginning with verse number 14, he makes a statement that's really contradicting a lot of people in church today and the way we live our lives. He says, do all things without grumbling and complaining or questioning, depending on what version you have, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God without blemish or fault. In the midst of a crooked and twisted generation among whom you will shine as lights of the world. Verse 16 he says, hold fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain, even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith. I am glad and rejoice with you all. Likewise, you also should be glad and rejoice with me. So before we pray, and first things first, let me go ahead and take care of this. If I could have some ushers maybe bring the air down a little bit, because there's a lot of people fanning, and I'm always hot, so I know they're fanning their heart too. So let's go ahead and take care of that, and hopefully get you a little cooler. But I want us to go to the Lord today, and I want us to talk about shining for the Lord. Let me ask you a question. You know, we just sung an awesome song, and it said amazing love. You know, I've seen amazing love in so many things. I see it in my family. I see it in our church. I see it as I read the Word of God. I see it in just my own life, because everything that I have, everything that God has saved me from is out of amazing love, and not anything that I have deserved or earned or worked for, even come close to. And we sing that song, we think, man, that's a beautiful song, and it's a powerful song. But the truth of the matter is, that song really and truly is a reflection of God's action. Not just His words, but His actions towards us. And we want to serve a God that is active in our lives. Nobody wants to serve a God that's far off, that we never hear about, that we never hear from, that we just read about and never have any interaction with. We want a God that's right here up front and personal. I mean, we want an active God, yet for some reason, when it comes to you and I, we really don't want to be active for God. And you know, I've thought about this. You know, we go to sporting events and we wear our colors. Some of you got a chance to take them off earlier than others this weekend. I am sorry. We will have an invitation at the end, and you can share your grievances there. I just happen to have another day of watching ball games. Not going to rub it into anybody. I promise you I won't do that. But, you know, we wear our, you've heard me say this, we wear our sports colors, or maybe we're a Ford man or a Chevy man or a Dodge. You know, we're really proud of certain things, but when it comes to God, we feel like we're called to be undercover Christians. And it's kind of ironic. The greatest thing that supposedly has ever happened to us, according to our murmurings, is that Jesus died on the cross and saved us from our sins. Saved us from eternal damnation. In other words, I'm not what I should be, but thank God I'm not what I used to be. I love that saying. But the truth of the matter is, that's the thing that we're probably the quietest about. And here Paul is talking to the church in Philippians, and he gives a few instructional statements, and then he says, the reason I'm telling you this, so you can shine. Now understand, the connotation here is not a flamboyant light that blinds people. The connotation is what I explained to you in that very childish illustration. I cut the light on, and you looked at the light not because I told you to look at the light, because the light demanded your attention. What we as Christians are called to do is live a life in such a way that I don't have to go around and tell everybody how good of a Christian I am, but that my life is lived in such a way that when you see me, you automatically see the light of God shining through me. He actually says, don't grumble and complain all the time. Now, where is that at in church today? Because it seems like we as believers today have become professional PhDs in the area of grumbling and complaining. It's too hot, it's too cold, the sermon's too long, it's too short, because you probably never complained about that, have you? Somebody got my parking space, somebody got my seat, somebody didn't look at me right, somebody disagreed with me. We live in a generation of complainers. What humbles me and amazes me is when we live in this generation, and then as last week, Alan and I went to sit down with Brother Spencer, and we got a chance to relive some of your life and those times we spent together and hearing the stories you and Glenn were telling. And you know what? There wasn't one complaint that came out of your mouth, brother, and I appreciate you, and I respect you so much for that. It was blessings and thanksgiving and how wonderful God is. And I will tell you, I left Brother Spencer Turner's house last week, and I saw the light. Al and I got in the van, and we drove off. We said, you know what? That's what a family's supposed to be about. That is what a man of God is. He didn't tell me how much of a man of God he was. But when I left there, his light demanded my attention. We are foolish to think that the law, the gospel, was more stern in apostolic or New Testament times than it is now. Can I tell you, the same Bible that was preached in hundreds of years ago, the same word that was presented by the Puritans, is the same word that I stand before you today reading. God's view of sin and sinfulness is the same today as it was when His Son hung on the cross. It hasn't changed because times have changed, and no matter what version you have, it still says the same thing. The King James and the New King James says, shine as lights. The New NSAV says, appear as lights. The NIV says, shine like the light, the stars. The NLT, let your life shine. It all points to the fact that we are to shine, or others are to see God through us. Hey, let me make it simple. We're called to be light in a very dark world. And I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I've done a very good job of that. I mean, you know, it's easy for me, and I've used this so many times, to try to compare myself to someone who's not serving God and make myself feel pretty good, you know? Well, at least I'm going to church, and at least I'm reading my Bible. And I'm not, but you know, I don't need to compare myself to someone who's fighting the same battle I am. I need to review my life in light of God, not everybody else around me, because everybody else around me didn't die on the cross for me. Everybody else around me doesn't answer my prayers when I call out to them, when no one is around in the middle of the night. Just God. And I am commanded to let my life shine just as the stars in the sky demand your attention through the blackness of night. So must my life demand the attention in a dark world in which I am living in right now. Before I read this passage, or before we go into this passage, I want to read another passage. You don't have to turn there. In Matthew 5, it says, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and the light gives vision to everybody around. You know what it says? It says, when the light is on, people cannot help but but notice. I had to ask myself this past weekend as I sat there yesterday. My son was in a ball tournament all day from 6 in the morning to 11 at night. And as we sat there, I had my Bible and my notes, and I was just going through some things in the bleachers. And I had to ask myself, am I shining? Am I really someone that shines for God? Am I shining for me? Am I shining for my family? Am I shining for my own selfish personal reasons? Or am I genuinely something about me that says that guy is different? And I had to hang my head down and say, God, not quite enough. Paul has set forth a pattern for us to follow today. Philippians 2:13. I'm going to read it again and then we're going to pray. It says, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work for His good pleasure. And then immediately it says, do all things without grumblings and complainings, that you may be children of God, letting your light shine. Can we go to the Lord in prayer today? Father, I pray today that, Lord, this generation of 2014, that we would be as real with ourselves today as we can possibly be. My light is not as bright as it should be. My light is not as reflective, Lord Jesus, as the goodness and the grace that has been invested into me. Lord, we are the light of the world. At least that's what we are supposed to be. And many of us in the world today, we're flickering. Lord, the flame is waning, Lord Jesus, and the light is diminishing. But Lord, today, may we just briefly today review our present condition. And may we, Lord Jesus, strive to be light in a very dim world. God, please speak to our hearts today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Psalms 37:4 says, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Now, let me say this, and I'm going to probably cross a few lines here, but a lot of people take this message and they preach it that if you do good, God will bless you with good financial things. They call it name it, claim it, health, wealth, and prosperity gospel. You know what? I call it taking the Word of God out of context and abusing it for your own glory. What He's saying here is if you delight yourself in the Lord, if you invest yourself into the Word of God, then He will give you desires of your heart that maybe naturally you wouldn't have. Like, my natural desires is not to see other people come to know the Lord. But when I delight myself or invest myself in the Lord, then my desires begin to change, not so much about me, but for the things of God. He puts new desires in my heart. That's what He says here. And I'm telling you today that as Christians, we get closer to God, and the closer we get to God, the more He reveals Himself not only to us, but the beauty of it is He reveals Himself through us. And I do not have to go around and tell everybody, look at me, I am a great Christian. No, when I go to work, they see something different about me. Years ago, we were in the bathroom at the church I was pastoring, and a man came in there and he said, Pastor, he had been saved a while. He said, I want to tell you what happened to me this week. I said, what? He said, I was at work and a man came up to me and his name was Clyde. And he said, Clyde, something's different about you. I don't know what it is, but your face is different. Your attitude is different. The way you walk, the way you talk is different. He said, are you a Christian now? And Clyde, this big man, was just tears rolling down his face. And I said, Clyde, do you not realize that you have just been paid the greatest compliment you possibly could ever be paid, because someone noticed the light of God shining through you without you having to say the word about it? Folks, I'm telling you, we need to live a life that is in reflection of God's grace. That's evident in every single thing I do in life. We're going to get into the message in a minute, but let me read a few comments from some earlier speakers. Anselm said that if he should see the shame of sin on one hand and the horror and pain of hell on the other hand, and must of necessity choose one, he would rather be thrown into hell without sin than to go into heaven with sin. So great is the hatred and the hatred of sin. What a statement. The old Puritan writer Jeremiah Burroughs said, consider the angels in heaven. For one sin, they were cast out of heaven because of the animosity, the hatred that God has for sin. Joseph Alain said, God has made you a little lower than the angels, but sin has made you just a little better than the devil. What a statement. You say, preacher, what does that have to do with it? I'm telling you that we are here today. I am in church today not because I'm a good guy. I'm in church today not because I'm a smart guy, not because I got my act together, not because I have just... No, I'm in church today for one thing on, and that is because God's grace saw a foolish, ignorant, mouthy young man, and he died on Calvary's cross, and he saved me. And one day, God's revelation, he spoke to me, and he did. He convicted me, and I said, I can't do this on my own. And all I said was, God, help me, and he has been helping me, and he's going to continue to help me until I stand before him one day. And everything he does for me, and he does a lot, he does a whole lot for me, folks. Even sometimes when it feels like nothing's going right in my life, he's still doing for me. Everything he does for me, the very least I can do is to be a light shining as a testimony to him. Let me give you just a few things here today. What is the proper pattern for a light shining in the Christian life? Number one, there are things that we should avoid found in verse 14. Verse 14, he says, do all things. Now, watch this phrase. He doesn't say, I suggest or I hope. He says, do all things. Some versions say, in everything. This verse institutes a command. You know, we've got to differentiate in churches today, in our own spiritual walk, the difference between the suggestions and commands. You do understand that. There is a difference. Suggestions are ideas that we propose in hopes that maybe you would follow through. Commands are given so that we without question follow through. And somewhere along the line, we think that our Christian life is made up of a series of suggestions by God. But it's not. God has given us explicit commands, and he says in everything, or do everything. Can I tell you what the Greek word for everything means? It means everything. Sure does. Do a study on it. It means every single thing of your life. Do everything without complaining and arguing. Can I tell you, in my life as a pastor, there are some things I wish I didn't have to preach. This is one of them right here. I wish I could just skip on to the next verse. Do everything without complaining and arguing. Let's look at the word here. The word complain, it's a term that sounds exactly like it means. It means to rumble, a low rumbling or a murmuring is what it means. And it literally means a low rumbling in an area that you can't identify. You ever been riding down the road and you hear something in your car? Now, some people it doesn't bother you. Me, it drives me crazy. I mean, I can be riding down the road and hear something in the floorboard. I'm leaning my head down trying to listen to it, swerving all over the road because I want to know what that noise, that little flapping or clicking is. Drives me crazy. And inevitably, it's like a quarter that's gotten stuck in the ashtray or something like that. And I'm almost going to wipe out the entire highway trying to find that quarter in the ashtray. And that's what he's talking about. It's talking about an aggravating, low grumbling. It is an emotional rejection of God's providence. What it means, in short, is we don't like the way God's doing it. We Christians, we complain about everything, don't we? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand because I already know the answer. We complain about the weather. You know how I know? Because I've complained about the weather this week. We complain about fuel prices. We complain when we get up in the morning. We complain when we go to bed at night. We complain at a fast food restaurant because the food's not fast enough. And when it is fast, we complain because it's not hot enough. And then sometimes we complain because it's too hot. We complain because we just like to complain. It just makes us feel good to complain, don't it? It's one of the gifts of God, I believe, sometimes. We Christians complain about everything. But can I tell you this? That as a child of God, the problem of complaining diminishes the closer you get to God. Because we complain about things that, let's be honest, most of the things I complain about are somewhat insignificant and have no physical bearing on my eternal destination. And complaining about it has never changed the weather. It's never made it stop raining. It's never made the sun come out. It's never dried the ground. Complaining about it has never done any of these things, yet I still do it as a child of God. And then he throws another word to make it even more. He says to argue. The word argue means to dispute, to question, or to criticize. We are not to argue, criticize, or dispute with God or man. Now watch this, because this is where we really struggle. I didn't say you. I said we really struggle. We struggle in the area of complaining about each other. We are quick to point out the speck in our brother's eyes, all the while walking around with a crossbeam, a trap to our eyes. We are in a generation of people who like to argue and complain and dispute and to hurt the character of one another. And God's Word says, if your light is going to shine, you can't do that. As a matter of fact, if we want to go a step further, God's Word says, you see that enemy over there? Pray for her. Pray for him. As a matter of fact, not only do I want you to pray for the enemy, not only do I want you to pray that good things or protection be on your enemy, I want you to do good things for your enemy. And then he gives the human reason, because it's like heaping coals upon their lap, and I can deal with that. God tells us that as a believer, if our lights are going to shine, anybody can argue, anybody can complain, anybody can fight, but it takes someone with the light of God living through them that can love someone who does wrong to them. John Calvin made a great statement. He was when Calvin was told that Martin Luther had spoken ill of him, here's what he said: "Let Luther call me the devil if he pleases. I will never say anything of him, but that he is a most dear and valiant servant of the Lord God." Wow. I want to make this real quick because I want to get into the main point of it. We're almost finished. He says, before he encourages us to be the light, is that we have got to get rid of the grumblings, the complainings, and the arguings. Because if I am a child of God and every time you get around me, I am complaining, I am grumbling, I am talking about somebody else, how is Jesus Christ going to be seen in my life? Look at number two, what he says. There are things that we shouldn't do. We just talked about, here's some things we should do. Found in verse 15. He says we're to live a blameless life. The word, it means clean. We are to live a clean life. The New Living Translation actually uses the word clean, but both of the word blameless and clean means to be purged. It means to wash out. If we are to be the light, then we are to purge ourselves, to wash ourselves clean of things that may cause people to speak ill towards us. This is not a popular message today. I do know that. I understand that in my own life. But it's one that we need to hear, because, my goodness, people don't want what we have. I don't even want what we have sometimes. Because what we have is often not a reflection of who He is. If my light is going to shine, the two things I should not do is continue to argue, complain, and grumble, to speak ill towards somebody. But if my life is going to shine, then I need to live a life so that people cannot speak blame against me. You say, "Preacher, I am definitely not perfect." Yeah, I know that. We're not called to be perfect. We're called to be innocent. The New King James Version says, without fault. Not one of us today should be left in our seat after this point. Because I can tell you today that my life is not blameless. We are called today to live a life that when sin comes in, here's what it means. When we do participate in sin, it bothers us so much that we immediately purge ourselves from it. Man, I just said something ugly to somebody and God's Spirit convicts me, and I go to them and I say, "You know what, I was wrong. I am sorry." I'm purging myself. That way people can't speak ill towards you. They can't lay account to you, because even though you failed, even though you made those choices, you have done what God's commanded you to do, and you purged yourself from it. We're to live a blameless life. And how do we do that? Look at verse 15. We're called to hold tightly to the Word of God. There's two phrases, hold fast and hold forth. Hold fast means to cling tightly. Hold forth is the most accurate. It refers to the believer holding out or offering for others to take. In other words, here's what he's saying. We are to live our life in such a way that when we do wrong, we're immediately convicted. We purge ourselves from that sin. And then we go on and read in verse 16, it says, holding fast to the word of life, so in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain. He's saying, hold on tightly to the word of God, because that's the only way you'll be able to make it. The psalmist said, your word, I put it, I buried it in my heart so I might not sin against God. You know what that means? That means that when we put this passage in our heart and someone makes us mad and we're getting ready to say something bad about them, the word of God comes to surface and says, don't do that. Don't grumble. Don't complain. And we say, God, I want to hold myself blameless. I'm not going to do it. Hold tightly to the word of God. Now, I want you to look at this, the reasons that he gives very quickly for living a clean life. And I kind of jumped ahead of myself a few moments ago, that nobody can speak this kind of blame. The number one reason people give for not going to church, you know what it is? Other Christians. Now, let's look at the irony in this. We are called to be the light. I cut the flashlight on a while ago and you looked at it. You were attracted to the light. You saw the light without me having to tell you. We are told to be the light of the world, and as the light of the world, we attract others to God's saving grace. However, the number one reason given today, statistically, is shown that people don't go to church because of other believers. You know what they call them? They call them hypocrites. There's too many hypocrites in that church. You ever heard that before? Have you ever thought that before? Yes, we have. The number one reason that people do not go is one of the number one reasons that people should go, because of the life in which we reflect. He says that no one can speak blame against you. And you think, my goodness, that is going to be impossible. Folks, can I tell you today that I will never be perfect, and neither will you be perfect. But what I can do, as Paul says, I can live my life in such a way that you don't just see me, that you see God working through me. I'm not perfect. But He is. And the closer I get to Him, the more of my true self will be revealed. And the more my true self that is revealed, the more purging I've got to do. But the further I stay from Him, the less He will be revealed, and the more my sin will be revealed. And the more my sin is revealed, the least likely people are going to be attracted to the cross of Christ. What are the reasons that I need to live a clean life so that nobody can speak blame against me? And then he goes on to say, you'll be proud you didn't quit. I will say today that in churches, not just Parkwood, but churches all across the world that we live in, people are quitting. Have you noticed that? People quit. People quit on families. People quit on children. People quit on God today. I want to read something to you, and then we're going to finish. In verse 16, the latter part, he says that I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. Even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. Here's what Paul was saying. Paul was talking to the church at Philippi, and we're going to put it all together. And he says, I want you to be a light so that when people look at you, they're attracted to God. And the first thing you and I have got to do is we've got to do with one of the basic tendencies of human character, and that is complaining and grumbling. Do everything you can to step away from complaining. Do everything you can to step away from grumbling. And I will tell you today, that is something I struggle with also. He said, and once you learn to focus, and once you learn to see this, then your light will shine, he says. And your light will shine and continue to shine if you hold tightly to the Word of God. In other words, if you let this book right here start affecting the way you live, your light will continue to shine so that others may see you. And then he says, in these last two verses, he says, as I do this, I hope one day not to have lived my life in vain. I hope to finish this course that is set before me, and I hope in verse 17 that I will finally be able to be poured out as a drink offering. Did this work in Paul's life? In 2 Timothy, at the close of his life, Paul, Paul said, I have fought the fight. We know this passage. I have finished the faith. I have ran this course. And then you know what he says? I am ready now to be poured out as a drink offering to the Lord. Guys, Paul was just a human being that we try to put a cape on sometimes. And here's what he said. He said, I don't want to live this entire life in such a vain, self-centered way that when I stand before God, I'll be ashamed. I want to finish with honor. I want to finish knowing that when they say the final goodbyes to me, that my life was a light that pointed towards God. I want to ask each and every one of us a question this morning. How many of us could say that my light shines for the Lord? I don't want our men to stand, but if I were to say all of our men, I want you to stand, and I want to ask you a question. How many of us, husbands, fathers, single, young and old, how many of us as men could say in my home, my light shines for God? I mean, how many of us could say, at my job, my life really shines for the Lord? Or how many of us would have to be honest and say, you know, the truth of the matter is, my life is not shining like it should. I wonder how many of our wonderful ladies that we have in this church would be able to stand and say, at home, my life shines. When I'm with my friends, my life shines. People, I don't have to tell them. People see it in me. My life shines for God. I wonder how many of our teenagers can honestly say, you know what, I'm not going around with a big Bible in my hand telling everybody to look at me, but my life shines so that when people see me, there's something different. Man, I want to tell you. My light needs to shine a lot brighter than it does. And this morning I want to ask you a question. Is your light shining? Can people see Jesus in you? Do you live in such a way that when you do tell somebody you go to church or you're a Christian, it confirms their suspicion and never surprises them? Does your light shine? This morning, I want to ask you to bow your heads with me and close your eyes. A very simple message. Very simple message this morning. I wonder today, how many would say, I live my life in such a way today that people know God's inside of me. I wonder how many of us today would say, you know, I honestly think more now than ever before, I need to be recharged. Let your light shine today. Let it shine. Let it shine so that others see you and know something's different. Let it shine so that when they do see you stumble and fall, your character lives in such a way that you are known to make it right. Let your light shine. I wonder how many of us today have spent a good portion of our year, a good portion of our week, our weekend, in frustration and anger, grumbling and complaining about the things going on around us, and so much so that it affects us and those who walk and live around us. And today, just today, we need to come to the Lord and say, God, forgive me. How about today? What would happen if our church were to move upon the very throne of God and say, Lord, I am sorry for my complaints in light of all you have done. I am sorry for murmuring, Lord Jesus, in the face of your goodness. And Lord, today I just want to thank you. Thank you for what you've done in my life. What would happen if our church, we'd become an altar of thanksgiving? What would happen if our men today would say, God, I want to be a light. I want to be a light in my speech. I want to be a light in my actions. I want to be a light in the way I live my life in front of others. I just want to be a light today. I faltered. And I failed. But today, Lord, I want to kneel before you and ask you to help me to be blameless. I wonder today if there's someone who says, you know, I'm struggling. I'm frustrated. I'm aggravated. I'm scared. I'm lonely. I don't know where I'm at right now. Pastor, pray for me. I do believe that there's a God. I do believe that there's a heaven. I do believe there's a hell. You believe the basics. But the truth of the matter is you don't really know where you're at right now. I want to tell you, even though you do not know where you're at, He knows exactly where you're at. And maybe you're here today. And you say, I want God in my life. I want to give you the opportunity in just a few moments, this whole church, every man, every woman, every young person, to come before the Lord and say, God, I want to be a light. Father, in Jesus' name, before we extend and open this altar, I pray that God, you would just speak to our hearts. Not just here in this hour, but throughout the week, that God, our light would shine. That God, I personally have done seems like so much to hurt the name of Christ, Lord, that I would live a life that God brings a little glimmer, Lord, a little insight to the greatness of God. Lord, at home in front of my children, with my wife, in the public, Lord Jesus, I want my light to shine, and I just pray that today that God, you would convict the hearts of all of us, that wherever we go, people would see something different. With every head bowed and with every eye closed, I am going to ask you to stand to your feet. Not going to tarry long this morning, but as some have already come to this altar, I want to give you the opportunity to just say a simple prayer. Lord, I want to be a light. I want to be a light.